The Lord had us in Luke 19, and we were talking about Zacchaeus and the story of Zacchaeus. And in chapter 19, verse 3, I think it was saying something about Zacchaeus, and it said that that he desired to see who Jesus was, but he could not for the press of the people. So he went and climbed the famous tree and had his life-changing encounter with Christ and all of that stuff. But we went down the vein Wednesday night of with Zacchaeus of how did he know anything about Jesus? How did Zacchaeus know anything about Jesus? What caused him to say that, man, Jesus is, I heard rumor that Jesus is coming through town. I gotta see him and see what he's about and see who this guy is. And what sparked that in him? What stirred that in him? Testimony. The testimony of somebody declared the goodness of God manifesting through his son Jesus, that the Messiah was here, and that he was here to thy kingdom come, thy will be done, to release heaven into earth. And because of the testimony of somebody or some group of people, it caused Zacchaeus to say, I want to find out about this thing. I do not believe that there was this great, huge spiritual hunger in Zacchaeus at this time. I think it was more curiosity than anything. We don't know anything, and by his occupation and his lifestyle and all of that, he was probably not the most welcome man in the temple and the synagogue. He was a tax collector working in hand with Rome. He was despised by the Jews, as the tax collectors were of that day, because they viewed them as the occupying force. Rome was the occupying force. And these guys were the way the black community would view somebody they would call an Uncle Tom. Okay? That you're in bed with Rome just to benefit yourself, so I have no use for you. This is where Zacchaeus would find himself. But there was something about the dynamic of what was happening with Jesus and this Jesus movement that caused him to say, I want to find out about this cat and see who he is. And I believe, and I'm here to declare this morning, that the testimony of people was what spurred that. I believe one of the biggest failures that the church has in the area of evangelism is that we are too secret on the testimony of what God's doing in our life. I'm not talking about declaring doctrine. I'm not talking about sharing somebody else's testimony, although there is power in that. But it's even more powerful than this is when it is, this is what God did in me. This is what God's doing in my life. I can give you testimony about when Eric Johnson goes to Sri Lanka and sees all of these amazing things happen and say, man, Eric said he saw this, 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 and this. And you're like, well, that's cool. Yay, God. But when Grant comes, and Grant's going to be sharing next Sunday morning, and Grant stands in the pulpit, and he talks about presenting the gospel to these children that have never heard the gospel before, and all of the children accept Jesus Christ. There are 20-something kids in this group accept Jesus Christ. Then all of a sudden, that carries more of a weight and significance to us. The passion and the power is what's going on in my life. And when I release that, then it carries more significance in my realm of influence than it does if it's like, I know a guy. I know a guy's okay. But let's make it more personal. Let's make it more real. And I believe that one of the biggest areas of error for the church in the arena of evangelism is that we are very closet Christianity in our testimony. Now, I want you to understand something this morning, and we're going to develop this. Your testimony is not necessarily the fact of what God did in your life 20 years ago. What is the fruit of what's going on in your life right now? All right? I'm going to develop that. So let's just dive in and let's look in the text this morning. The fruit of Canaan is what I'm calling this. Numbers 13. Is everybody there? Y'all quiet this morning. Give me some feedback now. Y'all supposed to be Pentecostal. All right. Numbers 13, verse 2. Send thou men. These are the children of Israel. They've come. This is before the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. This is the first go around. They've come to the edge of Canaan, which is the promised land that God has declared and given them. He says, I want you to send spies in and I want you to spy out this land. I want you to see what it's like and all of that stuff so that we can go in and conquer. Now, I'll share a couple of things on this after I read this text. But in verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. This was not Moses' idea, this was God's idea. God did not need to see what was in Canaan land. He knew exactly what was in Canaan land. And he knew that he had already predestined that this was going to be the children of Israel. This was their place. God did not send him for his benefit. He sent it for their benefit. Scott, a lot of times God will get, say and do and things in our life. And we think, well, this is, you know, God's saying this for us. To move in our life. To move in the life of these people. He said, I want you to go out and I want you to see physical manifestation so you'll know what I have given you, what I have declared over you, what I have promised for you. And so he comes in and he sends these, he tells Moses, he said, send these spies in. One of each tribe, he was going to send 12. All right, let's jump down to verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. And said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. And what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they may be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. All right, this is the story that we have of Joshua and Caleb and the 10 other spies that went into the promised land. On my notes here, the whole mandate for them was to go in, spy the land, see what it looked like. We want a strategy. I believe that God is a God of strategies. Although sometimes he'll mess with us and give us a strategy for conquering the land, and then he'll do something like Jericho that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever, just to show us that, hey, I got this. Above anything, God wants you to know, hey, I got this. He wants to know in the chaos in your life, hey, I got this. He wants to know all this going on, I got this, okay? And so we need to learn to rest and trust in the fact that God has got this. But he sent them in and he said, I want you to go and I want you to view, I want you to spy, I want you to see the strongholds, I want you to see the people, not as a source of discouragement, but a source of encouragement. And so they go in and do this, and there was twofold of what they were supposed to do. They were supposed to bring back the fruit of the land as a testimony to what is there. First thing, to bring back as a testimony to what is there. And a second thing, an encouragement to the others. Now, notice something in this, guys. They were not bringing back the sustenance of the land to sustain the people. It was just to whet their appetite. It was just to say, Sharon, this is what lives there. This is what it looks like. This is what it looks like. This is the physical, actual stuff that is growing there. And that was their job, was to come back. And here's what... One arena that we mess up in this arena of evangelism is we try to come back and think that my testimony will sustain the people. The grapes will sustain the people. They didn't bring enough grapes back to sustain anywhere from 600,000 to 6 million Jews. They simply brought back a representation and say, this is what grows there for you. The testimony that I have is never meant to sustain you. Cindy Morris's testimony for healing was never meant to sustain you. It was meant to whet your appetite for what you could walk in. It was meant to whet your appetite for what you could experience. You cannot live your life vicariously through somebody else and their Christian experience and their marriage or their walk of power or whatever. You cannot do that and it be sustainable in your life. It is simply to whet your appetite. All right? The testimony of Heidi Baker is simply there to whet your appetite to say, why not me? The testimony of Katie Davis is there to whet your appetite to say, why not me? If she can do it, why can't I do it? If God can use her, a little girl from Nashville, Tennessee, that's about to enter Lipscomb College and just going to send her on a mission trip her senior year and radically change a region in Uganda and change people's giving and mindset toward missions through one little old teenage girl, then why not me? Why not me? And I think that what we do is we come in and we think that these grapes that people bring back or the grapes that we bring back has got to be enough to sustain somebody. Your testimony will never, ever, ever be enough to sustain somebody. At best, what it is designed to do is to whet their appetite for what God can do in their life. Okay? All right, y'all get that? Please understand that. Because what we tend to do is we tend to say, well, my testimony is not real. It's not enough to sustain her. It's kind of just one little bite there. It's one little thing. But all that one encounter is designed to do is to whet her appetite that, you know what? If she can have a radical encounter, then I can have a radical encounter. And if God can use her and meet her, then God can meet me and God can use me. So I want us to get this and understand this. They bring back as a testimony to what is there and an encouragement to others. All right? As we come in, are y'all getting what I'm saying in this? As we come in and we start doing this thing called kingdom life. All right? I'm not talking about religious activity. I'm talking about kingdom life. As we start doing this thing called kingdom life, you know what it is to do? It is to show the world that this is what God can do in your life. Now, we got messed up a little bit back in the prosperity of the mid-80s and early 90s in the church where it was like, let me show you how good God is by what kind of car I drive. And I think people were sincere, and we even got caught up in that. Look at the, you know, we're going to raise a banner up, and this is God's blessing in our life, and you can have God's blessings and all that. That is a foreign concept from somebody in the bush of Africa or Central America or the slums of Sao Paulo, Brazil, or somewhere like that. That is a foreign concept from them. So kingdom life has to go much bigger and much broader stroke than just the fact of, look at how God's blessing my life. That is one way that we can say, look at the blessing and hand of God in us. That is one aspect, and I don't want us to come through and say that we've got to skate in like this, real low. But it better be a deeper and more, depending on what's growing in that season. All right, let's look. I'm going to try to pull all this together. I feel a little bit scattered in this. Another area that I feel like we allow to hold us back on this is we say, I'm not living there yet. I'm not living there yet. I'm not living there yet. Brother, you could say, I'm not living there yet. But you visited there. Joshua and Caleb weren't living there yet, but they had visited there. I want to tell you something. You are never going to totally arrive to where it's like 24/7. I'm abiding, and man, they ain't nothing. I mean, it's just, well, I got it going on, me and Jesus and all of that stuff. But you visited there. You visited those places. How many of y'all, when y'all go on a trip, y'all bring back a t-shirt? Most people. When they go somewhere, they will bring back a t-shirt. Why? Twofold. Number one, it reminds you of Roots Athletics. You know, I know where that came from because Roots is out of Canada. I bet that came from Whistler Blackcomb. It was the one that was clean. It said Indian Motorcycle. The other t-shirt I put on was choking me, and I'm like, hey, this will wear good. I'll put it on here. Randy, how many Harley t-shirts you got that's got a dealership wrote on them? One or two? Why do we do that? Twofold. Number one, it reminds us of a happy place or a place that we went. And number two, we want people to know, you know what? I visited there. We do, don't we? It's in a sense, it's kind of our bragging board a little bit. But we want people to know I visited there. Let's get that mindset in our faith and in our experience with God and what God's doing in our life. What we'll do is we forget all of these places we've gone to in the kingdom life. We forget all of these encounters and these places that we have visited in Him. We say, well, I ain't abiding there, brother. But you visited there. I had to fight through worship this morning. I was sitting there I was rebuking, my mind was trying to go this afternoon and all the stuff that I need to do this and this and this. I know y'all don't never battle with that, do you? Carrie, y'all don't never battle with that, do you? I do sometimes. This morning I was sitting there like, Lord, let me stay focused and fixed on You. Because I am into You and I am digging what You're doing and I want this moment to be significant and I want an intimate encounter with You and all of that stuff. Sometimes I'll get so lost in His presence that it's like I don't care if there's one person out there or a million people out there or whatever's going on and all of that stuff. But sometimes you have to fight through it. So we don't always live there. Sometimes we have visited there. So don't think just because I don't live there does not give me the right to wear the t-shirt. Does he live in Whistler Blackcomb? But he's been there. Now what does cause us to be invalid? It's where we start wearing the t-shirts of where we hadn't been. You get caught in that if you ain't careful. You know what's bad though is when you got on a t-shirt and you're gonna run into somebody and they got a common interest in all of that stuff and they say, man, you bet all my buddy got for me. Isn't that kind of a letdown? Is it not? Larry got me a t-shirt from Missoula, Montana, Grizzly Hackle Fly Shop. I've been to the website many times, but I haven't been there. I said, Larry, hook me up with a t-shirt, brother. But I'm careful where I wear it because I don't want to get in an arena where I'm around some fellow fly fishermen. And they're like, man, how did you like fishing in Montana? Well, I ain't never been. And then they look at you like, man, you're a poser. Right? I ain't hating on, I'm not hating on anybody. But that'd be like me wearing a Hell's Angels t-shirt or something like that. I mean, you talk serious, I get you cut and get you killed. That's serious poser. Here's my thing in this, guys. It's okay if we don't live there, but the places that we have visited, we've got a testimony on that. I still do. I've got dreams about going and visiting places that are, she wants to spend a month in Italy and I want to spend a month in Patagonia and different. I've got dreams of these places. But you know where two of my favorite places? Besides my farm, two of my favorite places are right now. One of them's Blue Ridge, Georgia. It's 2 hours away. What is fantastic about Northwest Georgia? I dig it. Charleston, South Carolina, it's 5 hours away. I dig it. You know, I don't have to go to, and Lord knows we used to go here and there and everywhere and all that. And trust me, I love the color of the Caribbean. It is awesome. I like diving down and scuba diving and all that stuff. But you know what? It does not have to be this big stretch. But what we'll do, if it's not flashy enough, you know what we'll say? You know how many t-shirts I got of Blue Ridge, Georgia? Zero. You know why? It ain't cool enough for me to have a t-shirt from there. But it's one of my happy places. Right? Now, I might get a T-shirt from Oyster Fly Rod Factory in Blue Ridge, Georgia, even though I can't afford a $4,000 bamboo fly rod. But that would be cool enough for me to wear, right? Here's the thing, guys. Here's what I'm trying to get across with this. Your testimony does not have to be some magnificent place that's on the other side of the planet. It does not have to be the thing that I was dying of, you fill in the blank, and God healed me. I was dead and God resurrected me. God did this and God did that. It can be, if it is a thing that was significant to you, I guarantee you there are people walking around that can totally relate. Absolutely, totally relate. Something that jumped out at me that I've just really never focused on in this scripture right here. At the end of verse 20, now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. What did they bring back to show everybody how good the land was? Grapes. You know what they didn't bring back? Word that, man, this dirt's good. I believe we could grow all kind of wheat in this stuff. Because there's not any tangible evidence. It's all hypothetically speaking. Right? They didn't come back and say, well, it wasn't fig season, but they got some awesome fig bushes. They didn't say that. It was the time of first ripe grapes, so what did they bring back? Grapes. Your testimony is not necessarily about, part of it is what has happened in my life, but so much of it is what is happening in my life right now. I like to hear Todd Pope's story. He's got a cool story. But I'm more interested in what God, and me and Todd are talking about him sharing his testimony. I think it'd be real powerful for No Longer Man. But you know what I'm more interested in hearing them talk about? Not the fact that God saved me from a car wreck when I was 18, 19, 20 years old and all this stuff and I shouldn't be here and I'm dead and all that. I'm more interested about what's producing fruit in his life right now. I'm glad you got a great fig harvest 15 years ago, but I'm more excited about the harvest right now in my family, in my home, in my marriage, in my children. That's what I'm stoked about. That's what I'm stoked about. We carried the three oldest grandkids out last night to the movie. You know you're a grandparent when you start going to Kung Fu Panda movies. Dylan dug it. They were fighting. But we went, after we got through, we went and we carried them to eat. We went to Cheeseburger Bobby's to eat. You know, you go to these glorious places like Cheeseburger Bobby's when you got three grandkids with you. And we were sitting down and this couple next to us, they started commenting and kind of laughing at us a little bit because we were playing zone defense. And y'all know how Caroline and Z are when they get together and all that. It can be quite humorous and everything. So me and Lori are playing zone defense and all of that. And this couple next to us start kind of, because we're real close, and they start kind of laughing and commenting with us. And so we started talking back and forth a little bit and all that. You know what I didn't do? I didn't pull out my bill phone and said, let me show you a picture of my two daughters. Because I've got two amazing daughters. I love my daughters. I've got a tremendous relationship with my daughters. But you know what was blooming right in front of me? The fruit of my daughter's womb. And so you know what my testimony was? Oh, these are three of our five grandchildren. That's what we were saying. These are our three oldest grandchildren. We got another one on the way and we got another one at home. And so we start glorying in what's blooming in our life right there. And it doesn't always have to be something spectacular. They brought grapes because grapes what was harvested. I wrote down and asked myself a question. What did these people bring back from Canaan, if you will, as far as testimony? You know what the adulterous woman, what fruit she brought back was? Mercy and forgiveness. The problem with that, if I bring back the fruit of mercy and forgiveness, that's telling everybody that I was in a sinful state to receive mercy and forgiveness. As powerful as last Sunday was, you know what? The strongest thing that I felt being released in this last in this house last Sunday was forgiveness. Repentance and forgiveness were the two things that I felt the most strongest underlying current in this house. And there were people asking for a myriad of things. Baptism of the Holy Spirit and this and this and this and this. But the biggest thing, the strongest, the undertow, if you will, that I was feeling in this house was repentance and forgiveness. And then Brandon has the courage and the faith to jump up and say, "Hey man, I had this and then God delivered me from this." And he was testifying to something that could potentially make us look bad, small-minded. I mean, if you run around and you got a Panama City Beach or Blue Ridge, Georgia t-shirt or something, you know what people look at and say, "He's just some old small-minded redneck." You run that risk, right? Right? But if I order a t-shirt from some glorious place that I've never been, then I don't have anything to back that up with. But when I've been there and I've experienced it, because you know what, as Brandon, as you got it last Sunday and you shared that, you know what, I immediately saw several men in this house respond and connect to that. Immediately respond and connect to that. You know why? Because they could relate. I guarantee you there are more people that could relate to this adulterous woman because she received mercy and forgiveness because of sin than the Pope. The second person I put on here, Bartimaeus. Could have been 500 other people. All got the same thing. What was the fruit they brought back? Healing. God heal me. Here's the thing also on this, guys. When we declare healing in our life, it doesn't have to be just the big stuff. It doesn't have to be just that I had this. It could be, man, I had a migraine and I immediately started praying in the Holy Spirit. And God came in and God touched that thing. Or my child was sick and the fever left and all of that stuff. It doesn't have to be the huge, 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 huge thing. But people can relate to that. But that's what is growing in that season in your life. With her in that season of her life, Cindy, there was one thing that was dominating her, and that was the fact that she was battling cancer. That was what was growing in her life. So that's what she brought back from Canaan, is that God has allowed me to overcome this. God's healed me from this. So that was the significant thing. Next person I put, Mary Magdalene. What fruit did she bring back? This chick was demon-possessed with seven demons. And I said something a couple weeks ago. I believe that she was the most committed disciple that Jesus had. She would not, I know she was a woman and she doesn't count, right? But she would not leave him. Dude, she was everywhere. She was at the cross. She was in the tomb. She was everywhere. Because he who is forgiven much loveth much. And so she's sitting here and she's saying, "God rocked my world because Jesus cast these demons out of my life. He gave me a sound mind. He come in and he mentally, emotionally, and spiritually healed me." And so you know what fruit she brought to the table? That fruit. She didn't bring John's fruit. She didn't bring Andrew's fruit. She brought that fruit. I could keep going for hours. What fruit did Lazarus bring to the table? I got resurrected. I love the story in John 12. Y'all know the story of John 12 where they're having the supper at Bethany and all the people come. I love one part of this story. It says that the crowds came not just to see Jesus, but they came also because they wanted to see Lazarus because Jesus raised him from the dead. Sometimes they want to see what's happening in your life, Carolyn. Sometimes they want to see what's happening in your life. Man, I heard God's blowing up in your life. See, with so many people, Jesus is not a tangible person today. Was in biblical times, but not today. So what do they want to see? The next best thing. If I can't see Jesus, I want to see Lazarus. That was her testimony, or his testimony. Raised me from the dead. That was the fruit he brought back on this. I mean, we go on and on and on. The 5,000 that were on the mount, what was their testimony? What was the fruit they brought back? I was hungry and he fed me. You say, that's kind of... it's powerful. That's one of the most talked about stories we have. I was in need and somebody stepped up and met my need. Somebody in the church stepped up and met my need. Somebody brought me food. Somebody showed me love. Somebody showed me compassion. Somebody helped me out with a house payment. Somebody helped me out with a... A few years ago, Chris and Dana Roberts, it's about, been about, I don't know, 3 years ago, it's probably about 3 years ago, they're spent a night with us. They'd come through and they came to church on Sunday morning and spent the night. We got just some good catch-up time and all that stuff. As they were leaving, Chris handed me a check. I said, what's that for? He said, I don't know, I just feel like I need to. It's a $3,000 check. You know what I did? I thanked him and loved on him and all that stuff. But you know what I immediately began to do? Praising the Father. The Lord knew that we needed that at that time. But I didn't say, hey, Chris, can you hook me up and help me out or anything like that? But the Lord knew that, and so the Lord spoke that into him. So that's a testimony of where I was right there. I had a brother step up and say, here you go, man. The Lord spoke me. You needed this. So I'm like, yay, God. Why not? That was the fruit that was hanging on the vine during that season. Was it a brother stepped up and said, maybe the fruit's God restored my marriage. Maybe the fruit is God restored my finances. Maybe the fruit's God brought this amazing person into my life. Right? Why not? Maybe the fruits God brought me into this cool little church that God's using to radically change my life. That's part of your testimony right now. That we're digging God. We're digging this place. I guarantee you more people can relate to that than they can to the testimony. I read a book about Mother Teresa the other day and it was so awesome and it was so moving and all of that stuff. That's good. I'm not saying there's anything. We'll keep talking about Smith Wigglesworth. We'll keep talking about these people. But I can't live vicariously through them. There's got to be some real now. This is what's happening in my life. You know, as I read about most successful people from a business or monetary standpoint, you know what I find out about them is that they have multi-stream income coming in. All their money's not coming in from one thing. They have multi-stream income coming in from various different things. You look at the farmers and all that, you know what their big thing is? Diversified, diversified, diversified. That's why y'all aren't just a produce stand or a meat market. You're like, man, if we can sell everything, I mean, you go in a grocery store now and you can buy about anything you want to. You know? You can buy books, you can buy magazines, you can change your oil, you can get about whatever you want, air filters for your house and all of that stuff. And the mindset behind that is I've got whatever the need is, whatever the point is for that person, I've got something for that. When my testimony is greater than just a fact, I got saved and my name got written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's great, but that only reaches one segment of people. This person over here that's already done that and needs something else, then maybe he needs to hear what's blooming in your life or producing fruit in your life. Or it might be what's producing fruit in his life. Because you might be at a different place than they're at, but that person that you're supposed to minister to, you know what fruit they need to see? They need the fruit that you're carrying that's manifesting in your life right now. Y'all getting this? Y'all understand this? You're not, Michaela, you're not going to bring the same thing into the table that your mom and daddy are. You're going to be bringing something else in. Okay? You're going to be bringing something else in. Because that's what is producing fruit in your life. what that is? You know. God knows. God's doing this. God's doing something different in y'all than He's doing in y'all. And you're at a different place than they're at. And y'all are at a different place than I'm at. We all are bringing something back from Canaan, but I can't bring back the fruit of what's happening in Adam and Tana's life. I'm bringing back what's happening in Sid and Lord's life. You know, people get frustrated with me sometimes. They say, man, you're so personal preaching. You're always talking about your family and all this stuff, and I know my kids cringe and all of that stuff. That's where I am, and that's who I'm at, and that's the fruit that God's producing, though. If all I talk about is what's happening in somebody else's life, then we're living disjointed, I feel like. I want the fruit to come out of this house. I love Bethel, but we're not Bethel of Bremen. I listen to every podcast and most every conference that comes through. But we're not Bethel of Bremen. You know what? We're Victory Fellowship. And I need to produce a fruit that's going to be real in Brett House's life based on what God's doing in my life. We could go on and on and on and talk about everybody, what fruit are they bringing. The question is, what fruit are you bringing? I'm going to wrap this up and just let you chew on this for a while. Our testimony is what God has done in this season of our life. What did these people bring back from Canaan? Right, I want to close with this and tie this up with this. And like I said, I want you just to go home and begin to chew on this. Revelation chapter 19, verse 10 says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now listen to this. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. When the spies came back and they said that the grapes were so big and so abundant, Leroy, that the bunch of grapes that they had to carry it on a staff between two men on their shoulders, like we would carry a pig or a deer or something if we shot it. That they carried that, the bunches of grapes were so big that they did that. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You know what they were saying to every farmer, every vine dresser, in the nation of Israel as they brought these grapes back? As they came walking in with this, they were saying, these are the kind of grapes you can grow. They were making a prophetic declaration, is this is what our grape harvest is going to look like. That's what they were saying. And when I testify to somebody that God saved my marriage, you know what I'm doing? I am prophetically declaring over them that God can do the same for your marriage. I'm not boasting. I know y'all get sick of hearing about how wonderful mine and Lori's marriage is. I'm not boasting about that saying, nanny, nanny, poo-poo. I'm not doing that. I'm prophetically declaring that your marriage can be just as good or better. That's what I'm doing. I've been prophetically declaring that. I'm not taking all the credit. Please don't get that. But I am saying that me prophetically declaring that for how many years have y'all been, how many years y'all been married? 17. So y'all been sitting under my preaching for 17 years, spouting out the same stuff about us and all of that. Part of the reason that your marriage is great is because you've been sitting under prophetic declarations that say this is what you can have for 17 years. I'll take a little bit of credit on it because I'm releasing the testimony of Jesus. It's not this is what Sid can do. It's what this is what God can do. And so you've allowed not Sid and Lori to come into your life. You've allowed Jesus to come into your life and come into your marriage. And it has released the spirit of prophecy that has made declarations over your marriage. And so what you're doing by your testimony, when the guys at the fire station and all are ragging on their old lady and talking about how bad it is at home and how jacked up the whole institution of marriage is, and you can kind of strut through and say, mine's awesome. You know what you're doing? You're prophetically declaring to them that theirs can be awesome too. And that's trickled down to them. Amen. And that'll manifest in y'all. Amen. That's what's bearing the fruit. And so that's what we're selling. When you go to a farmer's market, you know what you get. You get what somebody grew. If you go to a local farmer's market, you get locally what is in season. I don't go to a farmer's market in April and get corn that was grown in Georgia. But, ooh, baby, if I go in July, I'm getting corn and peaches and all kind of wonderful things because that's what's growing. What we're selling is what's growing. And what we're selling is we are declaring to the world and to each other a spirit of prophecy that says this is what can happen in your life. That's it. This is what can happen in your life. That's why you don't want to settle. You don't want to settle for anything less than what this is. You don't want to settle for anything less than what this is. You want to look at some, you just look at T.W. and Jamie and just follow after them. I'm serious. Because that is a spirit. Their testimony is releasing a spirit of prophecy over you and saying, Adriana, this is what you can walk in. In 20 years from now, we'll hypothetically speak and say you get married in 3 years. 20 years from now, I'm embarrassing you. 20 years from now, you know what you can do? You can sit on the church and you and your husband can say, we've been married 17 years and it's been amazing. Because one day I sit among a company of people and they brought back grapes from Canaan. And those grapes from Canaan showed me what I could grow. They showed me what I could harvest. They showed me what could be in my life. This is powerful stuff right here, guys. This is us releasing heaven into the earth. But we do it by what's in season. You say, man, I'm going through pain right now. Where pain is, mercy's great. Where pain is, grace is great. I'm going through a place of sin right now. Where sin is, forgiveness can abound as long as repentance comes on the tail end of the sin. So my testimony was, I screwed up bad, but He forgave me. I totally blew it. I'm here to tell you guys, the older brother's not the one with the testimony. The prodigal son's the one with the testimony. The older brother, he didn't have all the visible stuff in his life till the attitude came out later. The younger brother's the one that sinned and tried to screw it up best he could. But you know what that does? That just simply glorified the Father because we see the goodness of the Father in that. I don't walk away and say that prodigal son was awesome. I walk away and say that is an awesome father. And he would keep his eye on the horizon and he would run to meet him. And when he met him, he would sit and he would put a robe on him and a ring on his finger. Wow. Full restoration. You know what? That's what was growing in the garden. That was his testimony. So let's stand to our feet and say, I want you to come up and just start playing something on acoustic guitar, brother. I want to free Linda up this morning. So going full circle. Why did Zacchaeus try to find out who Jesus was? Because he'd heard somebody's testimony. How do we reach the lost? The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I release it. I release it. I release it. I release what's producing fruit in my life right now. And sometimes the best fruit comes out of my failures because that's when His glory is the greatest. It's when His love's the greatest. When His mercy, when His forgiveness is the greatest. When His grace is the greatest. So don't think the only time you've got a testimony is when you've got it going on. Sometimes my failures are my greatest testimony. Because that's when He was the best. Because when we got it going on, a lot of times we can say, man, I got it going on. Everybody say, Matt's a sharp guy. That Sid's a sharp guy. But when we don't have it going on and He blows up, that's when they can say, that's an awesome God. He's so amazing. So amazing. So beyond me. Easy to applaud my kids when they do good, Chris. But when they totally blow it, and I still love them and pull them up in my arms and release what only a father can release, that's when it's the greatest. So I don't know where you are this morning, but wherever you are, something's in season. Something is in season. And I want to challenge you. To bring that back from your encounter with God. To whet the appetite of the world. And to encourage the brethren. Do that. Do that. If you need to respond this morning, the altar's open. If you need to come for that encounter with God, then I ask you to you come on down for that encounter with Him. Because they could not bring the fruit back until they went to Canaan. The only time you can bring it back is when you go to Canaan. All right? So you've got to have that encounter with Him in that place. But that's when you bring the fruit back, is on the heels of that encounter. Father, we come to You this morning and we thank You for today. We thank You for the time that we can gather. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the promise of Your activity in our life. And we thank You for the fruit that comes out of that. We thank You for the testimony that comes out of that. And let everybody in here know that no matter how jacked up their situation is, That Your involvement in that situation is a testimony that can change the world. And I pray that we would go and we would release that. And we would vocalize that. We would wear that t-shirt, if you will. And then when the people ask us about the t-shirt, then we can explain instead of saying, well, my buddy went there. We can say, yeah, I went and this is what I did and this is why it was awesome. God, let us realize our testimony is not about how large or how small, but it's about how significant in that moment it is. That's the tapestry of our life. I pray You just stir and You just move. I pray that every person here would just chew and think on these things, Lord. They would ponder these things in their heart. And as we go, that we have the courage and the faith and the desire to release this into the world. It's in Jesus' name I ask this. Amen and amen. Everybody good this morning? Everybody good? Y'all got something to chew on next few days? Everybody good? All right.